My name is Siegfrieda. I don't really have a family name as such, because my father gave me away to a physician to look after when I was 4 years old. Apparently because he could not support me on his own meagre wage and due to his alcoholism and misery, etc., etc. But yes, I don't have a family name. I've been a physician's apprentice for close to 20 years, locked in surgeries, cellars and laboratories, cleaning up messes, mixing potions, handling cadavers, studying anatomy. It's been a learning experience, but not necessarily a fun one. Well, ever since I killed the tyrant who had abused me in service for 2 decades, I have been somewhat listless. I've found the good company of Kruger and Heinrich, my companions. I want to become a physician, a full physician, an actual caring one, unlike the man whose rod I laboured under. But where that path eventually leads, that's anyone's guess. So far, we've encountered chaos cults, three-legged goblins. We've encountered nobles, we've encountered peasants, we've had to traipse through sewers, I've had to cut open bodies. It's been quite an adventure. This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
The day continues in the town of Bogenhafen. As the second day of the Schaffenfest begins to wind down, it is now approaching late afternoon and will soon be evening. For many people, this will be a time to start resting, recovering from their antics at the Schaffenfest. But for our free travellers, our free heroes, as it were, things are very busy right now and are likely to continue to be busy for some time. You are currently standing in the main centre of the town, situated near the town hall, the town courts, the merchant's guild, and other important buildings. You've just been discussing your next move. There are several options before you. There is, of course, finding out about the house of this Tegan family, scouting it out, and maybe getting ready to break in and see if you can find something incriminating on any of the members of said family. But before that happens, there is still time to do some other tasks, still time to come up with a different scheme or plan, still time to perhaps contact this Frederick Magirius, the guildmaster, although, of course, maybe that is a dire mistake and will lead you to your deaths. There is also still time to investigate the courthouse, maybe try and get that magistrate to actually do his job. But again, perhaps that is a fool's errand and a waste of time. The choice is yours. What do the three of you wish to do next?
I would begin by saying, given the new context, pursuing the assistance of the authorities seems ill-advised. At the very least, we know there's a split among them in terms of where their sympathies might lie. And in talking to one, we might reveal our hand to the other, etc., etc. And then in the worst-case scenario, they're all in on it, and there's nobody we can trust to be honest or a version of honest with. So far as what's been presented, I think I'm leaning more heavily towards the Null method.
Well, I will give you this information for free, because Siegfrieda probably would have mentioned it in passing, that you would know. The town council has 15 seats. You currently have met perhaps 2 individuals. Most of those seats do belong to the Merchant's Guild, 8 of them, but there are seats that do not belong to the Merchant's Guild. So while it is possible the entire council could be in on it, it would be quite complex. After all, there are completely different interests at play. That's the whole point of having a council, after all.
Are there seats we could occupy?
Well, you could. It would take quite some time. You'd have to run for an election year. You'd have to ideally become the leader of a guild, a high-ranking priest. However, you do know one of the members of the town council is actually the head of the Physicians Guild, so it's not entirely impossible for you, Siegfrieda.
Well, long-term goals and all that.
Indeed. It seems like our best course of action is indeed to try to get the evidence, well, in a not necessarily completely legal way, but at least a way where we know we're not going to get stabbed in the back. I mean, with regards to the council and all of those folks there, perhaps there are good ones. There very well might be. But how do we know which one would be good and which one would be in on the whole thing?
I think that's my concern as well. We have an awful lot of suspicions, mostly pointed at Tegan and Steinhauger, but I do think Tegan is the best one for us to pursue. We can't rely on the watch, because we know that not only are they distracted with the Schaffenfest, but also we don't have their full faith and confidence. They don't appear to be that capable either, or motivated. And while the magistrate has taken our case seriously after much haranguing, he's not our friend, and there's no point assuming that he's going to suddenly jump to help us if we come with more outlandish claims, especially revolving around a member of the council. I think this is a task we need to pursue ourselves, and if there's glory to be found, we can coat ourselves in it, and if it all becomes a horrible mess, we escape without the law chasing us down. Keep things subtle.
Yes, like we have thus far.
Well, sort of. So, yes, my suggestion, I know we had some hours left before nightfall. We have, of course, met with Johannes Tegan, but that was at the actual sort of central hall, wasn't it? It wasn't at the Tegan's household, as I remember.
Correct. It was in the town hall.
I know we've already done a fair amount of building scouting, but prudence dictates that we should probably do the same thing for wherever Tegan is based. The only other thing, and it's just a hunch, really, this Ordo Septenarius symbol that keeps popping up, this ram's head for the poor and the orphans of the city. One, I have the personal question of, if there's been an orphan organisation in this town for I don't know how long, why did my father give me to a damn physician heading out of Bogenhafen? But, you know, I've forgiven him. It's just a slight itch. Unless there's a reason to not trust the Ordo Septenarius. But also, and again, just a hunch, if I were to perform some kind of chaos-based ritual, and I've read about these things, I'm no expert, but I've read about them, they tend to require sacrifices. The easiest form of sacrifice always comes from the kinds of people that won't be missed and the people that won't be defended, and those tend to be the poor. If I had an order of charity and I was bringing people into my charity home to look after them, ostensibly, I could then make them complicit or victims in some terrible scheme. But maybe that's my imagination running off with itself. I do think Tegan is the man we need to look into, though.
In that case, the time has come to scout and find out information. Of course, the easiest way to do that is simply by asking people. It's quite easy to ask simple questions like, where does an important councilman live? That, after all, is not normally secretive information. So to start with, could somebody make a gossip roll for me, please?
Well, let me start by saying, I've got a long way to go on learning how this is supposed to happen. I've rolled an 89 over 33.
Well, currently, that is quite a large failure. Up to you if you want to re-roll it with a fortune or not. I will say this, you will get some information, it will just be the barest minimum.
I think on two accounts. One, that Heinrich is proud, and two, Heinrich isn't good at this kind of thing. That an 89 just reflects him going, getting the runaround, but taking it as earnest, and then I'll come back and present what is obviously incomplete information as if I had done the job correctly.
Certainly. You approach about maybe 5 or 10 people. 5 of them simply look at you confused and say, "Why would I know that?" 2 of them say, "Everyone knows that. That's basic. Go away." 1 of them does want to sell you something. You think some plums or some fruits of some kind. Very interesting. And finally, one person goes, "Well, yeah, they all live on the Adel. Well, if you're looking for the rich people, Adel Ring, south of town. It's there somewhere, I'm sure."
"Oh, well, thank you very much." And if this person is also someone who is trying to sell me something, I will happily compensate them by way of purchasing a plum or another fruit of some kind.
Indeed. And so you have learnt that the Adel Ring, which is in the southern part of town, is apparently where most of the most important people in town live. But sadly, that's about it. and time is ticking away.
Well, then to whatever place we've agreed that we're going to meet, I will approach both Siegfrieda and Kruger, eating the last bit of the plum before, I'm assuming, tossing it in the gutter, as this is a city of that era, and saying, yeah, no, the people we're looking for are in the Addle Ring.
Good work. Then we'll have to head there and see what we can find out. It's good to have a place to seek out.
And so you head to the Addle Ring as evening begins to set in. It certainly is a nice part of town, now you're entering it. The streets are paved with stone, and all the stone is nice, neat, and regular. It's clearly maintained often. There are several very large two-story houses arranged, funnily enough, in a circular shape. In the centre of the circle appears to be a big iron fence, and beyond the fence, some sort of garden. Beautiful trimmed bushes and various plants and a fountain. This, of course, is, by the looks of it, completely inaccessible to any of you. The only entrance would be climbing over the fence or getting through a locked gate. Obviously, this lovely park is not for everyone, it would seem. But yes, looking around the houses, you do begin to notice there are signs of heraldry everywhere. To most of you, these mean nothing, but luckily, Siegfrieda, you are actually aware of the heraldry of the town, and so, even though it does take, again, more time, it's a shame you weren't just directed here immediately, you do notice that sort of rose cross-like shape. Isn't that House Tegan's heraldry? It's all over that building. Maybe that is his home.
I should say, upon arriving and seeing that every noble lives here, as opposed to just the one we're looking for, we'll arrive on the square and Heinrich will just be, And then look towards the stone roads, a bit embarrassed.
At that, would someone like to make a perception check? You will, however, be making it at a minus 10. This is not because it's difficult, it's because you just don't have as much time as you'd like to do this.
Yes, I will certainly be keeping my eyes out in this area. I'm sure there's going to be extra guards here. Rich people do tend to employ private security, if nothing else. And, well, there might be questions regarding myself, if nothing else, what I'm doing here. I did make a lot of people aware of who I am. So I feel a little bit, paranoid is perhaps not the right word, but I'm worried, certainly. So yes, I'm keeping a very keen eye out to try and see if we are being followed or otherwise observed by someone who might wish us ill. And that is a 17 under 43, so that is 3 degrees of success.
Kruger, you have to be quick. You realize that, sadly, the time it took you to even just find the building has slowed you down, but you know how to be quick. And to be fair, Siegfried's early observations about the Steinhager offices are actually useful here, because you do notice on this building some of the shutters look identical. So the same sort of thing. So you've already had time to look at those shutters, and you know how they work. You know they're locked, but not locked too hard. So that is actually quite useful. You are being watched, of course, by the several patrols of watchmen who are constantly everywhere. That's tricky. You realise as soon as night falls, you are going to need to do your best to avoid these patrols, or at least distract them, because unlike in several other parts of the town you've been in, here the watch are very present. And then, of course, there are the guards of the house itself. Outside the house, you can see there are several men and women dressed in the heraldry of House Tegan. Naturally, this man has his own private security. That will be a problem as well. You even think you notice dogs? Ah, yes. You can see some of them have dogs. That will be an additional obstacle. However, you did roll very well. Looking at the house itself, it's a two-story building. Getting into the ground floor, obviously, is going to be the hardest thing. There's a big main entrance with lots of guards at it. It's also all fenced off. There's a big fence around this house. However, there is a large garden behind the house. That might be a better point of entry, you think to yourself. You will need to climb over the 15-foot-high fence, but you do have the gear for that. The question is, how would you then get in the house itself? The walls are completely straight. Impossible to climb. Unless, of course, you had something like a grappling hook. Using that, it would definitely be possible. Challenging, but possible. Point of entry? Well, you do notice that on the second floor, one of the windows leads out to a balcony? Is that actually a door window as opposed to a small window? You're not sure what lies ahead, but common sense and your own past experience normally inform you that rich people really do like having their bedrooms or offices near balconies so they can look out at their fine domains and all that. So maybe that would be a good entry point, you think to yourself.
Yes. Over the fence into the garden and then up to the balcony through the bedroom, and then the office should hopefully be in close proximity to that. The question is, of course, if people are around, breaking into this place when people are sleeping there is not impossible, but it is certainly a slight challenge.
At the very least, one of us would need to probably run distraction outside while the other two climb in. But that said, it doesn't have to be the way we did it before with that trap that caught us, where I'm stood in an alley or anything like that. We could organize a more static distraction, a fire, let's say. I'm not suggesting we set fire to a building. A runaway cart with some hay on it smashes into a nearby building. That draws a lot of eyes, makes a lot of noise. And as that happens, we climb over the garden wall while the guards' backs are turned and fires are being put out. Yeah, just thinking, because the real risk is if we try and, in an opulent area like this, there's every possibility that if I were there just shouting, help, help, I'm being attacked, or there's a thief, the private guards that occupy this area will just say, then call the watch. And they're not going to be terribly fussed if a member of the public is in duress. But yes, if we cause a hazard, then that's more likely to draw their attention.
Certainly one that, well, if it involved fire, might eventually lead to one of these fancy buildings catching fire. That would be something that they would very much want to avoid. This is not a bad idea. It might work, and, I mean, it is quite eye-catching. It is quite eye-catching. It is quite something that is going to be difficult for people to ignore. Everyone's going to come out and want to have a look at it, because fire. So, how do we go about procuring such a wagon and, one that would catch fire easily then? I suppose that is part of our challenge now then.
Well, first things first, looking around here, where are we in terms of topography? And by that I mean, is the Tegan household on top of a hill, which would be a very bad thing for rolling a cart down toward it, in a gully, on the flats? Basically, is it possible to, whoops, I've let this go and let it roll? If it is flat, that doesn't necessarily nix the plan. It just means that we have to set up a static distraction. We abandon a cart with what effectively amounts to a slow fuse and put ourselves in the right position for when it goes off.
Well, again, the area is very flat. As I said, you have this central fenced garden area. It's quite expansive, this large garden. That's fenced off with big iron rails. Then you have the central pavement that goes round that garden in a big ring. And then all the buildings and houses are right next to each other, surrounding this, all with their own walls, their own fences, and lovely gardens.
Is there an alley that abuts the garden at any point? Or street?
There is a smaller street heading just past the Tegan house, which heads back down to the centre of town. But it is just one. It's less an alley and more just a smaller street.
Well, that's where I would suggest we put this then. And we essentially, as long as that's a fair distance from the balcony that we're trying to climb up onto, then, yeah, while everyone's looking at this street and trying to throw blankets and water over fire, that's when we climb up.
Course, the issue is finding the cart.
Ah, that's no issue. I've still got gold crowns. I've been very thrifty after our initial expenditures. I can buy a cart and some spirits. Hell, I'm sure our good friend on the boat may have some alcohol that we could burn. If not, just buy some bales of hay for mounts or herd animals, that kind of thing. Bogenhafen seems to have it all.
Oh, on a river barge, I'm sure they have pitch or something tarry.
Exactly, and the good thing about pitch is it will keep burning.
Mm-hmm. Very difficult to put out.
And I would also say that, of course, we could light a handcart on fire and see what happens, but, and then looking over my shoulder to one of the larger carts, perhaps owned by a guild member somewhere, but something that has, I wouldn't say a donkey. They seem less likely to get spooked, but maybe a nice pony or a particularly not very temperamental looking goat. I mean, the animal's not going to enjoy fire that much, and we could make, I think, a much more spectacular display with a flaming cart hurtling down the street as opposed to just trickling down the cobblestones.
That's an excellent idea. I'm good with animals. I could probably loosen the lead, as it were, so that when it has pulled it a certain way, it can break free, so that we're not having to carry a roasted goat or horse on our conscience.
Only issue is, while the cart might fetch up to maybe a gold crown or two, even a basic farm animal is going to cost you two or three more crowns of gold.
In full confidence, I had not intended on paying for it. That we would distract whoever owned it, light the fire, and then abscond with, and then depart.
That would be excellent, except as you're looking around, you realize no one with a goat, no one with carts is anywhere near this district. So you are, while you could steal a goat from the Schaffenfest or something, you would then have to transport it here.
Hmm.
Well, Kruger, I smile. You're the master thief. Have you ever rustled a goat before?
Oh, I have. I have procured a number of different kinds of animals in my days, and I'm sure I will be able to do something similar here. We'll have to act quickly. Fortunately, the Schaffenfest will keep a lot of people busy, and with any luck, we will be able to make it over here without rising too much attention. So yeah, we'll have to head back into an area of the town that actually has those kinds of animals. Perhaps we can find something that is very much fitting our needs, and then we can simply add the pitch to that, and then we'd be ready to go.
If the two of you are comfortable procuring the cart, I will head to the barge and see what I can't come by way of river navigation supplies.
Let's do that.
Kruger, there is only one small thing that does play on your mind as you begin to do this plan. It does occur to you that if anything goes wrong, you will suddenly be in a situation where you are near a flaming wagon with loads of town watch rushing to grab the would-be arsonist. That's just if something goes wrong, of course.
Hmm. Well, we'll just have to make sure that it doesn't go wrong. I think that is going to have to be our course of action here. Because I don't see any other obvious way, and we do need to distract them. Otherwise, well, it's probably going to be a very difficult break-in.
In that case, two of you begin heading to the nearest location, which would definitely have beasts of burden and carts, the Schaffenfest. It is starting to quiet down a little, but there are still people around, especially near the cattle cellars, and the farmers eagerly engaging still in the trade of buying and selling said cattle. What is your plan, Siegfrieda and Kruger?
Well, I do have some skill in animal care, so, I mean, we can work together, or one of us can run distraction. What are you thinking, Kruger? You've done this kind of thing a lot more than I have.
I will think back to how I have done things in the past. Is there anything that I can think of in terms of a good way to do this?
Of course. While Siegfrieda distracts the individual, you just steal the cart. Keep it simple. Walk away with it. the guy who owns the cart will soon start looking for you, but again, you're not really stealing the cart. You just need it for a little bit of time. You definitely, of course, want to do this while hooded or, you know, not drawing too much attention to yourself.
Oh, definitely. Well, yes, if you can distract the owner, I will take what we need and move off with it. And hopefully we can disappear into, the groups of people that are here. And yes.
I would like you to roll a stealth urban check. For you, Siegfrieda, there is no role needed. You simply go up to this farmer, you don't know what his name is, and just start talking to him. And to be fair, he's actually extremely easy to distract. He starts going on about, oh, what's that, miss? You're interested in the old Bessie here, 2 gold crowns, at the best of times. But, you know, I could do 1 crown and maybe 10 silvers for you if you really are interested in buying the cows, you know.
That's very kind of you, very kind. I mean, I was expecting a much higher price than that, but in truth, I'm not looking for an old ox. I was wondering, do you have something a little younger? Maybe over there, I point, trying to get the farmer as far away from his stock as possible.
He goes and happily gestures to show you his stock.
And I roll an 82 over 45, which would make this a catastrophic failure. However, I happen to have Alley Cat, which allows me to, in case I fail a stealth urban test, reverse the die roll if it lets me succeed, turning an 82 into a 28 and giving me 2 degrees of success.
Wonderful. For a moment, you are very concerned when, as you attempt to just literally lead away this donkey, it does seem to struggle a little. But Siegfrieda did tell you something. She said something about give it a carrot, and so you do that, and it's following you quite happily as you lead it far away from the Schaufenfest and begin moving it towards the Adel Ring. Siegfrieda, you can see that a mule and a hay cart have gone missing, but this farmer has not noticed this at all.
Wonderful. I say, well, in that case, I'll return in a couple of hours once I've got my coinage together. Thank you very much. You've been very kind.
Oh, thank you. Sigmar, bless you. Happy Schaffenfest.
Oh, yes, enjoy the Schaffenfest.
Meanwhile, for you, Heinrich, again, no roles required. Joseph is a little confused. He does say,
wait. Well, you'll be needing a bit of pitch. We have some, of course. You need it to keep the torches lit, but why do you need a whole barrel? It's a little strange. This isn't a new dueling technique, is it, my boy?
I wish I had a lie that I could lead him down this road with, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to be a little honest. Not about arson, but about the need for something flammable. Oh, no, not the whole barrel, I will say, gesturing towards some of the pails or jugs that they use to cart it around to specific job sites. You wouldn't want to move a huge barrel of pitch around the boat every time you needed it. I'll say, we're going to be dealing with more alleys and sewers at night, and given our last experience, I'm really not interested in putting our light situation at risk, that's all.
Hey, lad. Well, all right, then. I guess you can have a jug or two. We got something rattling around on the boat. But again, lad, I hope you're not getting up to any mischief.
Oh, the line between dueling, finding dueling employment, and mischief, it's so blurry, as I've learned. If things were only as simple in the city as they were on the river.
And so, night begins to fall. Once again, a heavy mist comes in from the river itself, filling many of the streets with fog. Very useful for you. All three of you are now standing in the fog with a cart, a donkey, and a couple of jugs of flammable oil, making your way just to a street very close to the Teagan household. What do the three of you do?
Upon arrival, I will present the jugs forward to both Siegfrieda and Kruger, saying, I've never had to commit arson for any reason, distraction arson, any other kind of arson, so I think this is where my expertise ends.
I've only done it once. And I honestly don't know what the authorities discovered once all of that what was burned down, or how they responded. But before we set anything on fire, Kruger, do you have a grappling hook?
I have procured one, yes.
Oh, well, in that case, thank goodness, because I was all prepared for us to set fire to a cart and then realise we were coming out half-cocked. I suggest we lead this donkey and cart along the street until we are adjacent to the opening of the street we want it to go down. We turn it in that direction, and with a firm slap on the behind and a lighting of the fire behind it, loose reins around its neck and mouth, we let the poor creature go. We then move at speed, or two of us will already have to be outside the garden. As that happens, we make our way via the alternate street to the rear of the garden. When the guard starts chasing after the fire, we scale the wall and then we scale the building. No interruptions. We have to move fast.
Agreed. This is seemingly coming very natural to you, Siegfried. I'm impressed.
Well, maybe I've got some thieving skills to learn from you yet.
Well, let's put this plan into action.
I'll sort out the donkey and the fire that will light its behind.
Absent any further instructions, I'm going to just soak this with all the pitch I have available to me, and then also throw the jugs or the pails into the cart and hope that the evidence is burned along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Siegfrieda, roll an animal care check. Could you make it at a -10? Sadly, the difficulty here is knowing that while you are able to control this poor donkey right now, it's going to be hard to make sure your final command works when there's a fire behind it. But maybe you will do well here. Let's see what you roll.
I roll a 1.
Very well. And so you begin to soothe this beast. It looks at you, its innocent eyes, happy, content, perhaps even thinking that you are a new friend. And then the fire is lit. The poor thing begins to panic and bolt. But you do notice as it disappears into the gloom that it doesn't just barrel straight down the road, where you think eventually it would have crashed with that big iron fence. It does veer to the right. And so a flaming cart is now running around the Adel Ring. A few seconds pass, and multiple shouts and calls are heard. Several voices, and in the gloom you can see at least 5, 10, maybe even 12 men and women beginning to rapidly descend around the ring, screaming, "My goodness, it's fire! Fire, put that out! What on earth's going on? Bloody Schaffenfest, this is madness! Quick, grab it! Grab the donkey! Kill it!" And so it seems several individuals are now very much looking in the direction of somewhere else at the Adel Ring right now. What do the three of you do?
This is our opportunity. I have been making myself ready to get the grappling hook up and get up the wall and get across. So as soon as I feel confident that our little distraction has, well, caught the attention of the fine folks over here, I will put that plan in motion and begin scaling the wall with the grappling hook attached.
Indeed. Well, first of all, there is that fence. So everyone, please make a climb roll at a +30 as Kruger leads the way, gets the rope in place, and to be fair, this fence, this 15-foot tall wall, is not too tricky. It's not too tricky, so make your rolls, please.
That's 2 success levels for me.
And I have 2 success levels as well.
I only get 1 success level. But it is still a success.
It is indeed. Kruger, you are up and over. Heinrich, you as well. Siegfrieda, it turns out climbing a wall is actually more difficult than you thought. But eventually, you do reach the top and begin scaling down. You are now in the gardens of the estate. There is a lovely pond somewhere to the east of you, a little garden house somewhere, and of course the main building ahead of you. Could you, Siegfrieda, roll the perception check for me as you were the last over the wall?
I'm afraid I fail. It's only by 1 degree of failure, though, on my reroll.
You take a moment just to look about the gardens. It's awfully foggy. You can't see anything, though, and
I'm pretty sure most of the people should be on the street surely now, so... Okay, all good for you. Kruger, what do you do?
Having gotten into the garden, I look around, trying to get an idea of if the dogs might be around here, or if they would be in the front. And, yes, I first make sure that it's safe before moving forward. The idea is, of course, to get to the balcony.
I will let you make a perception roll as well, but sadly for you, at a minus 10, as you are now on the ground, and it is awfully foggy.
It is fortunate that I roll so well. That's a 13 under 43, so that gives us 3 levels of success.
You begin making your way through the garden, ducking past a statue, heading to that balcony, and just as you're about to get there, yes, 2 dogs you see just beginning to sniff and come around the left side of the building. It sadly occurs to you that while fire is very important to humans, dogs don't really care about fires unless they're right next to them.
Indeed. I'll have to cause a distraction here to get them to want to investigate. So I'll grab see if I can grab a stick or something with a little bit of weight that I could perhaps throw. I do believe dogs enjoy looking for, chasing after things that have been thrown, so...
Well, you will find a stick. Question is, how far will you be able to throw it? I think I'd like to say this is a dexterity check, but if you think you have a skill that's applicable, that's fine as well.
I think we can go with dexterity, certainly. That is 15 under 36, so that is 2 degrees of success.
You pick up the nearest stick you can and throw it in the direction of the dogs. They bark a few times and begin happily following it. Luckily for you, you managed to throw it just over the wall. That was an excellent throw, and so now they are on one of the sides of the walls, barking a little bit, but also just trying to scramble up the wall, which sadly they, of course, cannot do. At this point, Heinrich and Siegfried, what do you do? You noticed that happened. There were dogs. They were literally almost on you, if not for Kruger's last-minute detection.
This is why Kruger makes the big gnome bucks. I would have had no idea how to handle this. I know better than to exclaim my gratitude, but I will let out a very grateful sigh of relief.
And I'll nod at you.
I will likewise sigh somewhat tense and stressed with this entire situation, but quickly make my way toward the back wall of the house. We can't tarry for over long.
Indeed. I'm following Kruger's lead, and I will be as close on his heels as is appropriate.
Kruger, time to make another dexterity check. You realize throwing the grappling hook this time actually will require some skill to get it to land nicely on that balcony.
23 under 36. 1 degree of success.
You throw the grappling hook. It falls once. Shit! You throw it again. It lands. Nice and secure. The rope to the balcony is ready.
This is going well, I think to myself. I look to the others and then I begin climbing up.
What do the other two of you do? Do you all intend to climb up this rope one at a time?
Given Siegfrieda's struggle with the rope previously, I think I will let her go first and then... I guess call it a rear guard action as I wait for them to make it up. I personally don't trust the rope to hold more than one body at a time, and I'm thinking Kruger would have communicated that at some point, so I will let the two of them climb while keeping an eye out towards the backyard.
I'll give Heinrich a nod of appreciation. I understand what he's doing, and I'm grateful for it.
Everyone can make a climb roll with no modifiers except for Siegfrieda. You could have a plus 10 due to Heinrich's helping attitude.
That tips me over from awful to poor. So let's see.
Get a 0.5 under 32. So that's 3 degrees of success.
It cost me a point of fortune, but I am at 2 degrees of success.
I get a 24 out of 37. So that's, 2 degrees of success.
Maybe it's because you just had a bit of practice. But this time, all three of you are scaling this sheer surface with ease. It helps that the grappling hook does seem to be a very sturdy piece of rope. And so you begin scaling up the wall. Again, this would be completely impossible without this tool.
And the fact that you've got this far as well is in itself a bit of an accomplishment. You are looking around. This is supposed to be a very secure building, but you've managed to distract the guards, get past dogs, climb up the wall. And you also notice at this point that there don't seem to be any lights on upstairs either. You think you could just see one light on downstairs in this building, but there's no lights upstairs. Maybe there's no one home, or very few people at home. This is all going splendid. Heinrich, as you're thinking how well this is going, you find yourself looking up to the sky. And you notice something very strange. It's obviously nighttime, and obviously the streets are mostly dark other than torchlight. You do notice you can't see from up here any fires anywhere. That fire must have been already found and in the process of being put out at this point. Which is a shame, but at least it brought you the distraction you needed. But there's a weird green light. It's kind of covering everything. It's coming from the moon. More sleep. The chaos moon. As you're looking, it seems awfully big. It shouldn't be that big. That's weird. Why is it so big?
And if my memory serves me correctly, there was something similar happening when we were at the law offices and were rescued by a heretofore unknown force.
Indeed. It's bigger, though, this time. Even though that doesn't make any sense. And as you look at it, the shadows on the moon shift and change. It's funny. It looks like the moon has a pair of eyes and a mouth. And obviously it doesn't, it's a moon. But it looks like that, Heinrich. And the moon is looking at you and smiling.
Heinrich is not versed in matters of religion or chaos cults. My upbringing was very river folk, a little superstitious. Would it be appropriate to make a cool check to see how I take this information to the rest of the group?
It would indeed. Make a cool check with a plus 10.
That would give me 2 levels of success with the bonus. So after finally hauling myself up into whatever room we've arrived in, and without regard for what Kruger and Siegfrieda have been up to as I hauled myself up the rope, with almost not a full-blown, like, teeth-chattering nervousness, but with an obvious change in my demeanor, I start with just, we gotta go fast. It's a bad moon. It's the worst moon, and the fire's already out. I've got a bad feeling about this. Can we hurry along?
I just nod.
Yes, we're not intending on staying here for the duration.
What do you think about that, Siegfrieda? Your eyes go to the moon. Yes, more sleep, the green moon, where it should be, nice and far away in the sky. Why is Heinrich suddenly getting freaked out by a moon? I mean, yes, people are very superstitious about more sleep, of course, but a weird time to be thinking about it now.
I put my hand on his shoulder and say, I'm not sure what is troubling you right now, Heinrich, but now is not the time for superstition to be rattling you. We need to stay as clear-minded as possible.
Taking a deep breath, looking down at Siegfrieda, having passed the cool check, I think that is also enough to just, whatever that problem is, I can't handle it right now. And actually, Siegfrieda's presence is grounding because I'm in this for them. And whatever the moon brings, I'm going to face it with them. So, yeah, I need to have my feet on the ground and my eyes forward. So I'll give a nod, a little half-smile gratitude, just one corner of the mouth ticking up as not to make it too gooey. And then, I guess, at that point, take my lead from Kruger. What needs to be done?
Well, Kruger, you need to open this first lock, the windows themselves.
Well, I'll study the lock mechanism, however it's closed. Is it even locked? I mean, surely with all these fences and everything, people might get careless, perhaps. I'll first make sure that it is, in fact, locked, and if it is, I'll try to figure out how I can open it up from the outside.
Sadly, it certainly is locked. Again, it has those metal shutters on it, similar to the offices. It is a bit unusual for someone to have these sort of things on their bedroom window, but maybe this is an unusual man. So, yes. So yes, you will need to do a pick lock roll. No modifiers.
That is 03. Under 39.
You click a few clicks, you put your little tools in the right spots, and luckily, again, you had time to study the doors and windows at the Steinhager offices. That was not in vain. It's the same sort of principle here. The windows click open, and you can enter. Just before all of you enter, Heinrich, would you like to make one more perception check before entering the building?
That's not going to do it, and it's close, and I think it's important. It would only leave me with one fortune point for the rest of the night, but I'm going to do it. Oh, that's much better. That is an 8 under 44.
Just before you enter the building, you can just hear something all the way down from street level, where you just were minutes ago. I think you hear the sound of a carriage. Someone is arriving in this area by carriage. Granted, that is logical. This is a whole bunch of very important people's houses, but the streets were empty just a few minutes ago, but now they are not. Someone is coming into this area.
Then, with my voice still lowered, but affecting the seriousness of the situation, I'll say, and the timetable's getting worse, I think someone's home. Cocking my head towards the alleyway.
I'll look at that and make a note of what it is that we're facing.
Given the progress that Kruger is or is not making through the burglary process, would it make sense for me to kind of creep next to the window and keep an eye backwards?
You certainly could keep watch outside. Again, if you maintain a low position, the dogs aren't going to see you from up here, and no guard should see you from up here either.
Yes, I imagine it's a very dashing silhouette, a handsome man such as myself, maybe a little bit of a lace curtain, moonlight, hiding up against the window.
And so, Kruger, you enter the room first. What about you, Siegfrieda? You see Heinrich almost standing watch. You see Kruger leading the way in, but what do you want to do?
I'm going to be close behind Kruger. The problem is we don't know what the interior of this building looks like. We were inside the Steinhauger place because I recce'd that, and we went into the guild hall and did a bit of reconnaissance there. This place, we might assume, it follows the same architectural layout as the Steinhauger based on its exterior, but we don't know that. So as soon as we're in, we're going to need to start exploring this place thoroughly and, I would argue, separately to cover the most ground. My intention is to follow Kruger inside. Once we have our bearings, what kind of room are we in, what's available to us here, that's when we start splitting up and doing as much as possible.
Indeed. You are in an elaborate office. Well done, Kruger. Your instincts were right. It was either a room... It was either a bedroom or an office. People like this always like to have their balconies near bedrooms or offices. The desk is made of fine burnished wood. There are several beautiful cabinets and tables in the room. There is a small dinner table with golden goblets and silver plates on it. And of course at the desk is full of drawers. There is a great painting on the wall. The painting is of Johannes Stegen. You recognize him. He's standing with another man who looks quite similar to him, taller, thinner. We don't know who that is. You also think in the portrait, the beard of Johannes has slightly less grey in it. Maybe this is an old portrait. And that is the room you find yourself in, a lovely office, several cabinets, desks, and things to look at.
Interesting. Well, given that we need to move fast, I'll just begin... searching through the desk first, and then moving to cabinets after that. Just trying to open up whatever looks the most important. Ideally, if there's something that's actually locked, a locked drawer or something like that, well, perhaps that is where anything important would be kept.
Yeah, I will whisper at Kruger. If you find paperwork, obviously leave it to me. I can do the reading. Keep doing what you're doing, but you know you need to be handling secret passages and as you say, locked chests and things like that. I can do the reading work. See if there's anything valuable worth taking in that regard.
Indeed. You'll have to teach me to read someday.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yes, maybe not now. And yes, so that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to find something that looks important, ideally, something that is behind lock and key.
Roll a perception check for me, please.
That's no good. 92, I will use a point of fortune. And that is much better. 28 under 43. 2 degrees of success.
You head to the desk, first of all. Lovely silver pen, ink pot. There's a document on the table. You don't know what that means, but you quickly just throw it to Sigfrida. Must be important. There are several other documents, but they're in a big pile. Surely they're not as important as the thing that was on the desk. You begin looking through the drawers, opening every single one, and out pops a drawer. Wait, hang on. One of the drawers is locked. Ah. You then also, before focusing on that locked drawer, turn to the portrait. You have a hunch. You check behind the portrait, and there it is, a big safe. Although granted, it looks rather intimidating, far more intimidating than the drawer. Still, there's a big safe, one locked drawer, and you've already handed something to Sigfrida. What do you do next?
Looking at the safe, how much time do I think I would need to be able to open such a thing?
That depends on your skill level, Kruger. You've known some people in the business who can get one of these open in 5 minutes. That's not really you, so you don't know. You'd have to try. It might take a while, it might not. I will say this would be an extended test. You'd have to be rolling several rolls, and eventually you would succeed, but the question is how much time it would take you.
Well, I'll begin with the drawer, then. Perhaps there's even a key inside.
Maybe. The drawer is another simple pick-lock roll, but at a minus 10, this is a good lock on a good set of drawers.
Ah, that is 38 under 39.
You do get it open, but this actually takes a bit of time. A couple of minutes pass. What are you doing, Sigfrida? You see Kruger working on a lock. He seems confident it will open in a minute, but he's having some trouble.
Well, he's already thrown me one piece of paperwork, so I'll quickly scan it. Is it some kind of criminal conspiracy, or is it just a shopping list?
It's an inventory. Oh dear, how dull. Let's see. It says something along the lines of warehouses 7, warehouse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I guess it's an inventory list of his warehouses, someone's warehouses. The only thing of note, other than seeing that this individual has several, let's see, boxes of roast meats, some steel, some stone. Warehouse 7 and 13 are currently unoccupied.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. Warehouse 7 and 13, but... Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else immediately available for me to look at? I don't really want to get into... into breaking locks or anything. That is not my forte.
You could just pick up the silver plates and the golden goblets, although you obviously can't pick up too many things.
I'll quickly pick them up and examine them. Are any of them bearing any sigils or words that seem familiar to me?
Would you like to roll an evaluate check?
Yeah, why not? Okay, that is a success by 3 degrees.
Nothing amazing about them. Granted, there is some very nice gold embroidery on the golden goblets. Each one could be worth 5 gold crowns at least. The silver plate. Ooh, Bretonian in design there. There's a little watermark there. That could be a gold crown. Nothing special about them. They're just very nice bits of furniture and they could sell very nicely to a fence.
As tempted as I am, and I truly am right now, I don't know for certain that this Tegan is some evildoer. It's a guess. I can't just go stealing the family gold. If he turns out to be some guilty party and we can grab something on the way out, then great. But for the time being, leave them where they are with a great deal of regret.
Indeed. Other than that, there's just that big door. There's only one big wooden door leading into this very large room.
What's Heinrich doing?
What are you doing, Heinrich? You're outside keeping watch. Would you like to make a perception roll?
I can, sure. I'll start by saying that my primary concern would be whether or not that carrot is getting closer. In my head, I've constructed a scenario where the evil cultists are coming in for their nightly meeting through the back door. Whether or not that's true, I suppose this die roll will say, huh? Oh god, I don't see anything. Not critically bad, but not a success.
You try and keep an eye on that carriage in the fog, and it's gone. This is very irritating. It occurs to you, if this fog wasn't here, you'd be able to see everything. Although it also occurs to you that the fog might be helping you as well. But again, it's very, very thick. Again, not unusual. Thick fogs are actually known on several parts of the River Reich, but gosh darn, it's really bad here in Bogenhafen.
And also just convenient that it's happened twice while we were engaged in these kind of activities. But given that I haven't seen anything, and to Siegfrieda's question, once it appears that there's no one immediately creeping up upon our position, if from the initial entry point Kruger went left, then I'm going right. I understand implicitly that time is of the essence, so whatever room he's not in and whatever room Siegfrieda's not in, that's where Heinrich's going to go.
In that case, Heinrich, you enter, you see everything they've seen, you see Heinrich just in the middle of popping open a drawer, and you just head to the door, test it, and open it. It leads out into a dark, long hallway, the upstairs, clearly, of this building. You think you can see a bit of a gap where some light's coming from. Ah, yes, there is a floor below you, and this upper area is open. If you were to jump over the banister, you would land on the ground floor, hurting yourself quite a bit, but you can at least see what's happening on the ground floor.
That seems a bit exuberant, given the current situation, but I'll keep it in mind. Having never been in a lord's house before, I'm assuming that to the left and the right, sure, there's this office, but the rest would be bedrooms or maybe a privy?
Certainly. Again, you'd have to start looking, but you can definitely see doors leading off into other rooms of the second floor. Again, these are rich people. These rooms are all massive. You find yourself thinking that you could easily fit 7 or 8 or 10 rooms up here, but in this sort of building, it's probably only 3 or 4.
Well, let's consider this one of the first steps in Heinrich's ongoing economic radicalization. With no sense for anything else, you mentioned there were lights. Are those confined to one side of the house, or is it just the entire bottom floor that is, has this mood lighting, for lack of a better word?
Indeed, it looks like... You just start poking your head out a little. It looks like there are some basic torches that are just lit in the main hall. That must be it. It must be the main hall of the house. You could even see the doors leading outside. And then there's stairs that lead up, stairs to the left and right, and they come up to this floor, and that then leads you to the rooms and bedrooms up here. As you're observing all this, Kruger, the drawer pops open with a nice, satisfying click sound. Inside the drawer is a book. Very large book, very weathered-looking, brown tome. No words on the front or even on the side, but as you pick it up and just sort of maybe start looking through it, you do realize there's a little bookmark. There's a note in this book. What do you do?
I'll just flip directly to that, just to see if it has some kind of hidden compartment that might contain a key. I mean, the words don't mean much to me, but perhaps this is, this is what will allow me to get into that safe. I just keep eyeing that safe and keep thinking about how much I want to get it open.
Indeed. And so you flip to that page. Disappointment. No key. There is a letter. Got lots and lots of words on it, and it's got a address at the top and a name at the bottom.
I'll pass it here.
Yes, I do just that.
And so, as you hand this letter to Siegfrieda, and you hold the book in your hands, Heinrich, you will, just as you poke your head out a little, look straight down and see the doors to the house swing open. Several armed men and women begin entering, and Johannes Tegan and someone else slowly begin heading into the house.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the legendary campaign The Enemy Within for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 4th Edition, published by Cubicle 7. In this first part of the series, we are tackling Book 1, Enemy in Shadows. Joining us as players in this series are none other than Aaron Hammonds from Queen's Court Games and our dear friend Matthew Dawkins. The music was made by Flowers for Body Snatchers, Word Clock, Metatron Omega, Aegir Sonus, Apocryphus, Halgrath, and Northumbria, featuring a number of collaborations with other artists, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschelbert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Bob Lange, Julian, Cameron, Xavier, and Anchon for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as the Champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, Skaven are definitely not real.